email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, it was announced recently, I think on Morning Ireland, Ireland's selection for the international feature film category of next year's Oscars. And the film, which will go and represent us, is called Sanatorium. It's a documentary, feature-length documentary, directed by Gar O'Rourke. And Gar is on the line. Hello, Gar.
Ray, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Congratulations on Sanatorium.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we're very excited about the news. We found out last week, I think it was. And it's a lovely boost for the film. And we're hoping that it'll help connect with a few more audience members around the world.
Yeah, it's a very special piece of work, Gar. I'm going to find it difficult to articulate it, but it is a documentary. It's about a sanatorium in war-torn Ukraine. It's observational. The people you got to share their lives with you over the 35 days are amazing and interesting. Visually, it's spectacular. It's just a very special piece of work. So congratulations on that. So that's my version of it. What's your version of it?
completely different. No. Thank you for that, Ray. I appreciate that a lot. And like maybe I'll caveat the chat by saying, you know, for a lot of Irish people listening today and people from around, they may not know what a sanatorium is. Mm. And so I think, you know, we don't really have this concept in Ireland of, I suppose, a holiday where you kind of, the purpose of the holiday is to heal yourself.
Yeah.
And this sanatorium where the film is set is a place where Ukrainians travel to every year. And essentially they take a holiday, but during that holiday they take treatments every day. And some of these treatments some of them might not pass health and safety in Ireland, but I tell you, they get results for people over there. But it's more than this. It's an idea that, you know, it's a very different type of holiday that we're not used to seeing. And then of course, combine a war happening all around the hotel, and you have a very unusual situation.
So it's like a destination spa with questionable medical aspects.
Yeah.
And one of the stars of it is the mud from the estuary.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad that you brought that up, actually. Yeah, I mean, the mud is something they'll tell you. Do you know, when you get there, one of the first things they'll do is they'll tell you that it's better than the Dead Sea. You know, they'll make sure that you know that very quickly. And essentially, the mud there has, according to some, you know, scientists from the 50s or 40s, it has, the mud in the estuary there has every single mineral with, like, you know, if you put this stuff on your skin for 10 minutes, apparently it can have very, very profound effects. And now it's used in kind of a myriad of different ways in this sanatorium. So they don't just rub it onto their skin, but they kind of incorporate it into mud baths, mud massages, hydro baths, all different ways of using this mud. I've done all of the treatments myself. Okay. Probably my favorite one is the mud bath, which kind of feels like you're sitting in a brown bottle of champagne, you know? You do feel better after it, actually.
Do you? Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You sort of, and then people go out into the very shallow estuary and they lather themselves with this mud, which looks very odd, you know, but it happens there and has happened there for years. But when you turn the camera on it and people who aren't used to it see it, It is very odd. What was it like when you saw it for the first time?
Well, I remember for the first time staying there, which was back in 2021. And I think the first night, you know, I'd seen images and I'd already made a film in Ukraine before that, maybe 7 years ago. I'd made my first short documentary in Kiev in 2019. And when I was researching to make this film, Sanatorium, I remember the first week I stayed there and I'll be honest with you, Ray, the first night I checked in, I just thought, what have I got myself into? Because it was kind of a bizarre situation where, I mean, the sanatorium was quite different, let's say, to how it was in the catalogue. And, but when, after that first week of being there and seeing the kind of intrinsic effect it was having on people's lives, I just thought, wow, there's a very special film to be made here. Yeah. But before you see people with the mud on them, you smell them, because the mud is like sulfur dioxide type smell.
So fart-like.
Pretty heavy stuff. Yeah, it's pretty heavy stuff. Yeah.
When was it built, this sanatorium?
Well, technically the site where the sanatorium is, you know, people have been going there for 200 years. Right. And it actually began, believe it or not, with soldiers where they were trying to rehabilitate soldiers' wounds. So that basically they would get the soldiers down in the lake and they would put this mud all over their legs or arms or whatever. And over time, it kind of sped up, I suppose, the healing process for them. Mm. You know, I'm not on the chat today to speak to the veracity of these things, but that's the story that you hear. And that's the story that, you know, the sanatorium will tell you. Yeah. But the building itself that's in the documentary is more or less built in the 60s or 70s. And this was at a time where, you know, imagine now in the mid 80s, you had up to 10,000 people a day going there.
Yeah.
Like we don't have anything at that scale in Ireland, really. But now, because of, you know, COVID and the war and all of these factors, you know, on the best day, you might get 300 or 400 people now.
Okay.
So it's a pretty, pretty big difference. Yeah.
So from my watching of it, there are three buildings. There's the main building that looks like a high rise hotel, and that's where the accommodation is and a lot of the treatments. And then you have this amazing pyramid looking thing. It looks like the Louvre. It's a cross between the Louvre and a pyramid, and that's where the indoor pool is. And then there's a circular theatre, which is a bit run down, and there's leaking and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, the theatre actually is kind of a piece of art in and of itself. I mean, they call that building the House of Culture. And kind of all over Ukraine and sometimes in Eastern Europe in general, they will have, you know, these are kind of remnants, I suppose, of a Soviet era where they would have built sanatoriums and beside them they would have incorporated these facilities for entertainment and recreation and different things, you know. And that House of Culture is a spectacular building. But unfortunately, because of COVID and the war, I mean, they just can't even afford to have things happen in there. Mm. But yeah, you're right. It's an enormous compound. It's absolutely huge, this place. And to be honest, like in the film, we tried to show the kind of warts and all of the building, but really also shine on the fact that it was having a tangible positive effect on people.
Yes, yeah.
The kind of the poignant irony.
And
then we've got
to come back to that in a minute, but just I'm trying to paint a picture for the people at home so they know the extent of this place.
Sure.
So the pool, will you describe that structure to us?
Well, the pool is, well, I mean, you've pretty got a it fairly right from the get-go. It is like the Louvre, and it's golden in size. I mean, the pool is quite spectacular in design, and it was actually the image of the pool that sparked my curiosity to get on a plane to go over there and look at the sanatorium. The pool is kind of a piece of art, but when you look at the components of it, it's quite simply put together, actually. But if anyone types in their sanatorium film, you will see that image that I'm talking about. It's the key image for our documentary. And it's there for a reason, because I think it represents what is quite unique about this place, but also proximity of the war nearby to it as well. Yeah. And that water in the pool, okay, we might have taken some artistic license in the poster. It looks blue, but I can tell you right now the water's brown because of all the muds that they use part of the pool as well. And the pool is very hot. It's a very warm pool that you can float in. Basically, it's like the Dead Sea, you know?
Yeah, and one of the main characters, Dimitri, who's the general manager of the sanatorium, probably not something he dreamt of being when he was a kid, but the final scene is him doing the starfish floating in the pool at the end just on his own. Yeah.
It took a summer to convince him to do that, to be honest. But yeah, it was only because he said that when the guests go away, he likes to kind of make the most of it on his own there, you know.
Right,
but
right.
It's that thing of there's a reason why you float in that pool. It's basically for people who have spinal problems.
Yeah.
And they have a few of these different pools in that sanatorium. The idea being when you lie in them, it places less pressure on your body so that you can actually do exercise more freely because the salt is helping you float.
Yeah. So there was one poor guy who'd been injured. He was a soldier. He was on the front line. He was there and we saw a very impressive scar on his back where he'd obviously been operated on. So he was recuperating. Then there was the stars, apart from Dimitri, the stars was a mother and son combination. And the son was 40. She was a very glamorous woman in her, I don't know, 60s, 70s. And he suffered from back problems. So they were there to solve that and maybe find a wife for him. Was that it?
Yeah. I mean, look, she's a bit fed up with her son, Andre, that he, you know, he had made promises over the years. He said, look, if you guys get me an apartment, I'll find a wife, you know.
Right.
And then granny gave him the apartment. And then it was, look, guys, I can't find a wife because there's a war right now. And then it was like, well, you know, your friends are getting married every weekend, even with the war and stuff. So Andre, I think, has his own existence, reality happening there. If you watch the film, you may stumble upon what that could be. But he's still very much a bachelor now, so the film hasn't worked as a romantic calling card just yet for him. It could do.
But they're brilliant, and that there's a disco, and Careless Whisper comes on, and it's amazing. All of this, and it wasn't your intention, I know, at the start, because the war hadn't started, but all of this against the backdrop of the war, although we don't see the war, it's hinted at by air raid sirens and then smoke emanating from across the estuary while people are bathing in the mud.
Very much by design, in a way. I mean, the sanatorium was never directly striked during the filming, thank God, but the intention here was to make a film. Well, as you said there, Ray, like, the research and the development for the project had begun a year before the Russian invasion even happened. And then, of course, when the invasion kicked off, I mean, that changed the lives of everyone in Ukraine, and still has to this day, and still will into the future. But the sanatorium had closed its doors, and we thought, wow, it might not be possible to make this film at all. And then about, 7 or 8 months into the war, the staff thought, well, hang on, people probably need this place more than ever, so we should really make an effort here to do our best to try and keep it running despite the low footfall coming into it. And so the documentary is a simple story. It's very much about the staff trying to maintain this almost dying building, in a way, and then the guests who come there, and they all have their own little stories, whether it's a young woman who's hopeful to become a mother and she's trying to cure an infertility, or it's a mother and a son, like you say, who are trying to get along, we have another older man who's looking for love into his golden years. So there's all these different storylines happening within the building.
They're all getting their treatments as well. There's a lady who's lost her husband because of the war. Has brought on psoriasis, so she's getting the treatments. Like, some of them, I know that people in Hollywood have paid probably millions to create the set and the props that you had there in reality.
Yes.
What was that thing where there was two guys up at each other with looked like a 1970s machine, and they had something shoved up their nose, and there was a green liquid in it?
Well, to be honest, Ray, it was my love of the treatments was a big part in getting me on the plane out there to research the film and make it ultimately. But some of these treatments, I mean, I can guarantee no one in Ireland has seen these types of treatments before. They're more akin to a almost Soviet era space training program anything that we're used to. The green quartz, that machine there, to be honest, I've asked a few times the crew, and what I was informed of was that it was quartz. There's quartz inside that thing. But honestly, some of them are—they're almost like experiments. I can't speak to the validity of how effective they are. But
well, I can tell you, Gareth, the power of the placebo. It's been written about more and more, and I think it was. It's a big part of how that sanatorium works. If you believe it, it will happen. And then there's the whole thing about being away from the world as it is, and you could see that. That poor guy, his description of the war was, he was going, it's romanticized, but it's actually evil and dirty and horrible.
That was a difficult line to include in the documentary because, there's so many important stories and films coming out of Ukraine at this time. And I think many of them need to address the war head on, and they need to talk about the war, and they need to show the reality of war. And I think in our film, we did not set out to make a film specifically about war, but of course, this is a film about lives during a war. It's a film about human resilience and the power of the human spirit, specifically the Ukrainian spirit. This man is very honest about his feelings on it. But at the same time, I think, like so many men in Ukraine at this time, if Ireland was at war tomorrow, who are we to say that, we wouldn't be involved in it as quick as we could if we had to fight, So it's a very complicated situation in Ukraine. And I think we tried to show what this man's honest experience was and how he talked about it.
And you mentioned there the Ukrainian spirit. I'm wondering, because this is the second documentary you've made in Ukraine.
Yes.
How would you describe them? as a people, you know, like, you know, I know without going too much into stereotypes, we tell stories, we're funny, we have the crack and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So what would your description of Ukrainian people be?
I mean, so all I can say is, you know, my relationship with Ukraine goes back about 7 years now. Yeah. So I can't say I've figured out Ukrainians or I know them in depth, but I know them maybe more than the average Irish who hasn't been over there. I would say Ukrainians, first and foremost, are very tough people. They're very resilient. And that's how they were before this war. But now with the war, you can see just how tough they are. What I'm talking about, I'll give you an example. You could be walking down a street right now in Kiev and an air siren will go off and the whole city will go off into air sirens. But before that happens, you can be talking to your Ukrainian friends. They won't change the conversation. They'll keep talking once the siren goes off. You know, it's like this is part of the fabric of their lives now.
Yeah.
As rough as it is, you know, last night there was more than 500 drones that came into the city and smashed the whole place up. They are kind of resilient. You know, it's kind of unbelievable the level of resilience that is happening there. Yeah. We don't see it as much in the news now because, of course, there's so many complicated and horrible things happening in the world at the moment. But yeah, I think that's the first thing. But I would say, actually, from an Irish perspective, Ray, and what I think this film will surprise audiences with is that the Ukrainians have a great sense of humor. Yeah. And it's a dark sense of humor. It's a sharp sense of humor. It's quite fast. It's quite witty. And it's almost like
coping mechanism,
medicine in and of itself.
Yes, yeah.
Like I have said to people in Ukraine, you know, like I see this humor sometimes. It depends now on the funeral, of course, but I've seen this type of humor at an Irish wake sometimes where, you know, if the person had a good life and everything, sometimes you could be there with a pint hearing, you know, the family slag the person who just died. And you're just like, you know, there's almost a black sense of humor.
Yeah,
gallows
humor, but it's a coping mechanism. The other thing that I noticed is how they differ from us. They're freer. You know, they're freer about, you know, getting their clothes off or whatever. They're more relaxed, more comfortable in their skin.
Yes, I would say so. Like, imagine, look, there's bigger things on the plate at the moment other than like a camera in your face and a documentary. But that was my experience kind of at the beginning, though, even back in 2019. The Ukrainians have less inhibitions.
Yes.
They're not as shy or prudish. You know, they're kind of just... they're kind of just in their own lane sometimes, and they kind of don't worry too much about, you know, external things that are, you know, not that important. But like Ukraine, similar to Ireland, has had a pretty horrific history in general
of oppression,
you know, World War II and everything, and even before that. So they have extremely tough times, and in some sense, I think there is a connection with Irish people with our history as well, and I feel that humor has been almost a coping. It's almost been our own way of. It's something that we took ownership over. You know, we weren't going to allow people to say we couldn't have a sense of humor or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So they can't take that away from us. They can't take that away from us.
Exactly,
Sanatorium. Yeah. We're talking to Gary Rourke, who directed it. It's set in a sanatorium near Odessa in Ukraine, on an estuary that offers up lovely black purpley mud, which has healing properties. Visually, and I don't want to get too sort of arts programmy here, Garb, but Wes Anderson, you know, like I'm a big fan of his movies, but they're very stylistic. There's a lot of symmetry. Colours are used, blocks of colours, you know, clean lines, all that sort of thing. And you had it there in bucket loads and you used it at every opportunity.
Yeah, it was quite deliberate, actually, the way that we shot that and why we shot it. But it's funny you say Wes Anderson. We got a review recently from the Irish Examiner that says if Wes Anderson made documentaries, they might look like this, you know. And I'm actually flattered by that because, you know, I'm a huge fan of Wes Anderson. But the reason why we shot the film the way we did is because the sanatorium itself was designed by these architects back in the day. And the objective of the architect was to say, look, we need to design something that has this perfect symmetry, that has this kind of like brutalist aesthetic beauty and has this balance. So this kind of perfect balance. So we thought, well, hang on, this has to be the way that we shoot it. We have to shoot it with those kind of ideals in mind. And I'll try not to get too arts programmy here either. But that was the intention behind it.
Well, you know? like it's just it's. you know, as I say, it's very special. It's very special. What happens next in the process? So it's like you've been selected. You got a good time. You're going to the Olympics of filmmaking. But you're in the what? You're in the heat. Is that it? And then.
Yes. So essentially every country in the world can only present one official entry to the Oscars, and that's for the category of Best International Film. So, you know, we're beyond honored that IFTA have chosen us to represent Ireland. We will go into a pool of about somewhere between 70 to 90 other films approximately. And then on December, that will be shortlisted down to 15. And then from that final 15, they're going to choose five to be nominated for an Oscar. So it's a lot. It's a long, all road ahead.
Yeah.
But I think for us anyway, like, and I can speak on behalf of our incredible Ukrainian crew that just dedicated every minute of the day to make this film what it is, along with our producers in Dublin. We have Andrew Friedman and Ken Wardrop, Samantha Kaur from Venom Films, and our co-producers, 2332 Films. For us to be the selection is already a fantastic result. And, you know, of course, we're going to keep our fingers crossed and toes crossed that we'll progress further. But already, I think it's kind of a beautiful thing that
it's
Ireland
a win already, yes.
This film, even though it's not directly about Ireland, but I think it shows a connection between our countries as well.
Yeah. And is it unusual that the selection is a documentary?
Very, actually. Yeah. According to ChatGTP, it's like less than 8% or 6%.
Well, if he says it or they say it, it must be true.
We can tick off the AI bingo now, right?
So it's released in select Irish cinemas on September 5th, which is next week. It'll be shown later in the year on the BBC documentary strand Storyville. But I think people will want to see this on the big screen because of what we've mentioned there. And you'll be there on the September 5th in the IFI for a Q&A.
That's right, I will. And I just want to say, look, the final note on the film is it sounds heavy. It sounds very serious, and in ways it is. But also this is an entertaining film that has a surprising amount of comedy. And I think people will be... I hope people will be moved and surprised when they see this film. So yeah, September 5th next month, I'll be there at the IFI, and then we're across a few cinemas in Ireland from the 5th onwards.
Okay, Gar, I really enjoyed that chat. Congratulations again. Thank you very much for your time. Thanks, Gar.
Thank you, Ray. Take care. Ciao, ciao.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.